Came across a story this week and I thought you might like it. It was a Sunday morning worship service, a lot like this one, when in the middle of the service, lightning struck the church. And when everything subsided, the devil himself was standing behind the pulpit. Everyone ran out of the church except one lady who was sitting in the front row, and the devil looked at her and said, "Do you know who I am?" She says, "I most certainly do." "Well, aren't you afraid of me?" I said, "Absolutely not. I've been married to your brother for 30 years. Okay, let's talk about Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And if I had a text today, I think this is what God is saying to us. And I've got two translations, and I'm going to share them both because I think that one builds on the other one. The Common English Bible says, "Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say, be glad. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you've learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you." But I also want to share what that says in the Message translation. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can that all you meet, that you're on their side, working with them, not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds with meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you have heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work in your heart unto His most excellent harmonies. If we had a doctor of psychiatry here today, and I kind of wish we did, and we ask him, I'll leave that for your own interpretation, and if we ask him, what do you think the number one thing is that affects people today? I'm sure without hesitation he would say it is stress. And stress leads to fear. What it does is it creates most of the emotional issues that we have, most of the physical issues that we have. Stress has been linked to such things as emotional depression, mental illness, digestive issues, breakdown in productivity at work, breakdown in family life, divorce, stress over all the different things that go on in families. And we may think today that we live a very stressful life. But I look around and I think of all the conveniences that we have. You know, we have running water. We have electricity. We have dishwashers. We have garbage disposals. My parents had electricity and running water, and my brother and I to take out the garbage. But I thought back when I was thinking about this, and I remember going to visit my grandfather who lived in Kansas City. He used to love to go there, and used to like to go, you know, go see him, because he was a unique individual. He was a 100% Blackfoot Indian. And he lived if you talk about modest, this was less than modest. No running water. No electricity. I remember seeing his wife heat an iron up on a stove, wood stove, to iron. Probably a lot of you have seen those. And I'm thinking, man, you know, as I look back, I think, that must have really been tough. But that's what people were used to. And so when I think about stress, and I look at that today, a lot of people struggle with health issues. My grandfather probably didn't struggle with a health issue because he probably didn't know what was wrong with him. But once we find that thing out, we begin to worry about it. I mentioned this couple that we know, the girl's name's Abby, 23, 24 years old with melanoma. Another couple that we've met through camping. Mike retired a couple years ago, found out he had cancer. And we talked to somebody the other day and said, well, he really looks bad. And I'm thinking, that's the doctor's report. We look at other people around us and we see how they suffer and what kind of stress they're under. And we have to become that healing agent in their life to help them get through things. Had a man stop by the church this week, and he said, I hate to bother you, but he said, my mother called and said my father died in Louisiana. And he said, I don't have any money to get there. He said, I work, I can show you my check stub. And I said, I don't need to see your check stub. He said, I paid my rent. And he said, I'm out of money. He said, my wife and two kids and I need to get to Louisiana. And I'm thinking, that's stressful. There's a fear you won't be there for your father's funeral. So Paul outlined to us a three-step program on what we really need to do to overcome stress, overcome fear, and gain faith in what, you know, he wants us to do and where he wants us to go. The first thing he said we need to do is we need to praise God. A frequent ongoing of praise can go a long way against relieving stress in our lives. What happens is that we get stressed out. We get concerned about something that leads to fear. But the Bible said God inhabits the praises of His people. If God inhabits the praises of His people, nowhere in there do I see it says anything about He inhabits the fear of His people. It doesn't say anything about He inhabits the concerns of His people. Because He says, cast those on me. And Paul said it very well in Philippians. The results of praising God are very simple. When God becomes elevated in our mind, and when we begin to praise Him and thank Him for what we have, we become less concerned about what we don't have. And we become less concerned about those issues in our lives that are pulling us down and are tearing us apart. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have concerns. But what it does mean is when we replace those concerns and we replace that stress, whether it's stress over finances, whether it's stress over health issues, whether it's stress over family issues, whatever those concerns are, when we replace those with thanking God for what He's done for us, and we praise Him, we find out that those issues become so much smaller, so much more irrelevant in our lives. What we find is there is a lessening of anxiety, a lessening of fear, a lessening of concern. We talked this morning in class about the subject of abortion. And how that, you know, versus killing Cecil the lion. And for some, you know, some people, they are more stressed out over a dead lion than they are thousands of babies a day being aborted. I guess I ask myself, and I would ask you, what's the more important thing? What's the most important thing? We need to learn to give God thanks. What that does is puts a God perspective on our life and gets it under control. There's a story in Numbers chapter 13, verses 21 through 33, and I call it the grasshopper syndrome. And if you haven't read it, you might want to, but it goes back to when the Israelite children were in the desert and they had sent out the spies, and the spies came back, and they actually came back with the Bible says they'd cut down a branch of grapes. The grapes were so big that they had to carry it on a pole between two people. Now keep that in mind. That's a whole bunch of grapes. That's more grapes than Bill and Linda brought in today. That's a whole bunch of grapes. Of course, Linda was helping Bill carry them, but, you know. But that's, when you really look at it, that's a whole lot. Verse 25 there says, they returned from exploring the land after 40 days. They went directly to Moses and Aaron and the entire Israelite community and brought the report of what they found. What the Bible says is this. It says, we entered into the land to which you sent us. It's actually full of milk and honey. And this is its fruit. This is a bunch of grapes that two guys carried in. There are, however, powerful people who live in the land. The cities have huge fortifications, and we even saw the descendants of the Amalekites there. The Amalekites live in the land of the arid southern plain. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the mountains, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan. Now Caleb, remember Joshua and Caleb were the only two that had backbone enough to stand up and say, you know, the land's ours. And now Caleb calmed the people before Moses and said, we must go up and take possession of it, because we are more than able to. Here's two individuals out of 12 that really weren't concerned about the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amalekites and all those kites. Not concerned at all about those people. And I realize they're, you know, that's a minority when you really stop and take, you know, and take a look at it. But the man who went up with him said, we can't go up against the people because they are stronger than we. They started a rumor about the land that they had explored, telling the Israelites, the land that we crossed over to explore is a land that devours its residents. All the people we saw in it are huge men. We saw there Nephilim, the descendants of Anak. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. That's what they said the enemy saw them as, because that's what they saw themselves as. 10 of them saw themselves in fear. afraid to take that next step into the promised land. Two of them had courage to stand up and say, yeah, there are big men there, but we can take them. This would have been the first battle that the Israelites would have ever had to face. Because they had it made up until this time. But 10 of them feared and 2 of them were courageous. I will tell you that the 2 were courageous were the only 2 that made it into the promised land. The other 10 didn't. What they did is they believed what God said. It wasn't the enemy that saw them as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And what they had seen, that God had moved all of those times in their lives up until that very day, lost their perspective on who God was in their lives and began to live in fear. The second thing that Paul talks to us about is gentleness. That may seem like an odd solution, but if we hold life gently and we do not cling to things, we do not grasp at things, we've got to have them, we do not lash out in anger about things that are before us and upset us. When we do these things, when we do that, when we grasp and want to hold on to things, there's a fear that we're losing control. And we want to grasp onto something, we want to take a hold of it. And that's not really what God is trying to tell us to do, nor is it really what Paul is trying to tell us to do. He said, these things are, not really under your control. Don't really worry about them. Hold life gently. Hold life with grace. Live, as we've talked about before, live in grace. Live in peace. Live in joy. Because this stuff all around us is temporary. When we really, when we really get down to it, we go grabbing at stuff and trying to take a hold of all this stuff, it really becomes temporary. Hear this, if you would. People who deal with other people and take situations gently have learned to take joy in special moments. They've learned to stop and smell of roses. I have a lot of conversations with Roger the last month he's been here working. Some of them have been better than others. No, I'm just kidding. I enjoy talking to Roger. But, we talk about a lot of different things. And, I'll ask him, I said, how are you doing today? Well, today was better than yesterday. But he didn't complain about yesterday. It's just today's better than yesterday. There's something about peace. And there's something about having and living life gently that we don't have to worry about. We can stop and smell the roses. It's interesting, as this guy that works for him, Bill, he's an interesting character. And Roger has several names for him. I will use Knucklehead. But you can tell he's not at peace like Roger is. And if you see him around here, you know him. I mean, he works. He does a good job, and Roger has to keep after him and tell him everything to do. But when you see people that are at peace with who they are, and they take those things gently, you learn to admire what's around you. You learn to admire the beauty that's there. You can see things without having to worry about having to have them. You can live in peace and live in comfort. You can feel thankful for what people do. I am thankful every day when I come in here, or when I come around here and somebody's here doing something, or something's done around here. I appreciate that. No matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, we need to learn to be thankful for everything that goes on around us. And take time to treat people courteously. That's one of those gentle things that we can do, and when we can treat people that way. When we live with a gentle attitude, we get back a gentle attitude. I sat down Monday at my computer and was reading Philippians and reading this verse, and I kept, you know, trying to get it because I knew I was going to be gone Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I wanted to get everything done Monday. And I'm sitting there, and I tell you, some things will just come together for you, and some are more of a struggle. But when I got up Monday evening, I had this done, and I thought, you know, this may not be a masterpiece, but, you know, it's not too bad. Every minister likes to hear somebody say, that was a great message. Well, that was a good message. You're the best I've ever heard. But I didn't mean that personally. But what we end up with when we live that gentle life is we don't get concerned about grasping on to things. Words are powerful tools that we have. They can shape lives. They can release potential. They can encourage vision. I mean, this whole, Wayne was talking about it today. This whole renovation was a vision that's come to pass because of your generosity. Now, quote Wayne, you can still be generous. No, we thank you. But that's what people do that don't live in stress. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Whether it's love, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's peace of mind, whether it's stop and help somebody change a flat tire, no matter what it is, words are powerful. They can bring healing. They can also steal. They can steal courage. They can limit fulfillment. They can imprison us if we're not careful. Live gently. Choose to live gently. And the third thing in Paul's plan is prayers with voices of thanksgiving. In essence, this is like praise. We can never really thank God enough for what He's done in our lives. We give thanks. We experience a change in our lives. We experience a change in our perspective when we thank Him, when we pray. But I think He wants us to know that we appreciate what He's done for us. What He's brought us through. What He's taken, you know, care of for. God is doing things for us in the present that we don't even know what's going on. He's protecting us at times and we don't even have a clue what's going on. When we feel anxious, we feel stressed, turn to God. Voice your praise. Voice your thanksgiving. Tell Him what He's done. He knows it. But He wants us to let Him know that we know He's done it. What that will do is remove fear from your life. It'll take away the health issues. It'll take away the spiritual issues that are concerning you. It takes away the emotional problems that we have. Hold life gently, not expecting too much out of yourself, not expecting too much out of other people. Be willing to trust God in all situations and let Him lead and direct. Paul said, if we do these three things, stress will subside and life will take on a new meaning. What that does is puts us in proper perspective. By praising God, by living that gentle life, and by praying and giving Him thanks for what He's done, it will take away the stress in our lives. Heard about a lady that I think provides some application for us today. She's a 36-year-old lady, and she just could not get a handle on her life. And couldn't figure out what was the next move and where she was supposed to go. She felt weary about always being about scrambling around and trying to figure out what she was going to do next. She was tired of doing things and never getting any thanks for what she had done. She was tired physically, tired emotionally, just worn out. So one day she walked out of her office building, hailed a cab with only her purse in her hand, went to the airport, booked a flight to a remote part of the United States, picked up the phone, called her family and said, "I'm taking a 48-hour break." And so she gets on the plane and flies, and they land. She stops long enough to buy a few personal items, rents a car, and just starts driving. And she ends up on this two-lane, windy road going down to really nowhere, because she had no idea where she was going. And as she began to drive, she found herself driving along the side of a river. And she prayed, "Lord, help me. I don't know how to make sense out of my life." She said she clearly heard in her spirit the Lord say, "Follow my road. Listen to me." She replied, says, "Lord, I'm following you the best I can. I'm listening to you the best I know how. But where am I going? And why am I so overwhelmed with it?" Again, she heard that phrase down in her spirit said, "Look at the road." And all she could see was about 100 yards down the road, she said, and it was a windy road, and she'd look ahead, and all she'd see was a bunch of trees. And as she was going down, you know, the road, she finally realized that although the road was smooth and the beauty was there, she said she realized, "I am on God's road in my life. I can't see too far ahead, but it is beautiful. I need to enjoy the journey." She said, "You're the road, aren't you, Lord?" And when she saw that, she said, she had a great sense of peace come over her. And she says, "I love it here, but what am I going to do when I get back?" And the Lord said, "Follow my road. Listen to me." What she realized, the Lord, is her first priority every morning. And everything else took care of itself. So it is with us. What road are we traveling? Are we traveling the road of stress, fear? Are we traveling a road of peace and security? Are we doing what God requires of us? Or are we doing what we require of ourselves? I think that's good counsel, and we should probably listen to it. Are we voicing praise? Are we offering praise of thanksgiving? And are we living our lives gently?